When does a group become cult-like? Some organisations spark a very loyal following but could be beneficial to their members. Alcoholics Anonymous, perhaps. But others can have a devastating impact. Some of the nuance around these issues will be explored on SBS TV tonight in a program called Cult Following. Carly McConkie joined a New Age program which promised enlightenment and personal improvement, but it took her 13 years to extract herself from that group. And that wasn't the end of things even. Carly, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much, Hilary.
What definitions would you suggest people rely on when we're trying to clarify what is and isn't a cult? You know, it might be in the eye of the beholder, perhaps.
Sure. Look, there's a lot of definitions around the world academically as such, but even if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, which I found in the Supreme Court of Tasmania was accepted, as far as religious cults are concerned, it's a system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object. But if you look at the extended version of that Oxford Dictionary definition, it could be a collective obsession with or intense admiration for a particular person, thing or idea. So that could encompass quite a lot of things.
Well, yes, and it's obviously something that you've put a lot of thought into since leaving the group that you joined.
That's right.
Tell us a bit about getting into it. In 1996, you were living in Sydney and you went to a mind, body, spirit festival and were invited into an organisation selling self-development courses. What attracted you to that group initially?
Sure. Well, I just finished university. I'd done communication at Charles Sturt University at Bathurst, and I just didn't know whether I wanted to pursue public relations. I was just looking for a bit of direction and clarity at that time in that transition from university to the real world. And all I wanted to do was go to the Mind Body Spirit on a Sunday afternoon and have a psychic reading. And unfortunately for me, that psychic reader was a part of the cult and recruited me. So what ended up happening was I went to the stand, had a look, was very impressed with what I saw. I went to a free stage one seminar at the Hilton Hotel the following month, where the cult leader was up the front, very charismatic and persuasive. Ended up doing the program in July, which basically I was told that you'd only need to do one course and you would be given the tools to reach your potential. But by the end of that program, after lots of processes, we were told of 17 other programs, and I signed up for the next one in September.
And what kinds of messages were you hearing and being kind of gradually indoctrinated into?
Sure. So the premise of this particular woman was working on your cellular memory to cleanse it for this lifetime, your past lives, and from your ancestors. So it was based on a lot of emotional release, accessing, they called it, and it was all to do with evolving and integrating, as she said, so that we could be the best person that we could be.
Right. So, I mean, that sounds lovely.
Exactly.
You ended up living on a property with her and other members off and on over the next 13 years.
That's right. So what? I ended up... Yep.
Oh, yeah, go on.
No, I ended up doing, over those 13 years, 26 courses, including three in the first year and one which was a year-long course. And I think it's important to sort of educate people that you definitely don't join a cult. It is recruitment, as I was, and you don't get told what you're getting into. So, you know, I didn't know that I'd be devoting my whole life to this person and this group and completing all those courses and on a never-ending sort of cycle of trying to evolve. And you'd sort of be told by her your flaws and, you know, your self-esteem sort of derided. But it's also about using mind control techniques and coercive control techniques. So a good example of that was the third program I did, which is in the October of that year, and it was called The Final Step. And the premise of that was to release all your fears. But what happened was we met at the University of Queensland, and straight away we were sort of verbally abused. We weren't allowed to go to the toilet. Our ID and watches were taken off us, and we were there for multiple hours. And then we ended up getting on a blacked out bus, which took us to an isolated property. We had no idea where we were. And we were there basically for the next 8 days and seven nights. We slept for less than 2 hours a night. We had long sessions of indoctrination, lectures and things, and went through a lot of processes. And, you know, we didn't eat for over 24 hours. There was a lot of communication control, etc. And we had the cult leader up the front with about six of her support team members and, you know, sort of verbally abusing us, telling us what to do. And again, we could only go to the toilet, for example, when they told us to. So it's all of these factors that contribute to someone becoming indoctrinated.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can see the people at Guantanamo Bay would be happy with those kind of techniques. We're speaking with Carly McConkie, who's written about her experiences of belonging to a group that initially suggested it was about New Age self-development, but it turned much darker and very, very difficult to leave over the years. So, Carly, what other kinds of dynamics went on there? I understand that people's partnering decisions were also in focus.
Definitely. So what a cult leader does is they focus on how to control people and the group. So whatever she needed to do at that point in time, she would sort of control relationships, tell people to either break up, and she'd, you know, just make up stories about what they were doing or what their personality was like, or if she wanted them together, she'd put them together. For instance, I did end up working for her from the end of 1999, and she didn't pay me for the next 10 years, which is classified in modern slavery as forced labour. And, you know, when it suited her, I married my husband. But then when it didn't suit her, we broke up, and she told me to go on Centrelink single mother's pension. And she debt bonded me a couple of times, for example, $70,000, $10,000, and I had to pay this debt back. And because she told me to go on Centrelink payments, I then paid that money to her. So there's all these sort of manipulations going on. And it's definitely in a group structure. It is similar to domestic violence, but it's on a whole bigger level. So you've got peer pressure, groupthink, and she was only a woman who was 5 foot something, but she was extremely aggressive and got into rages and did end up being physically abusive to many of us, mostly women, but including some men. And basically, when you've got that group and mob violence mentality, there's the supporters who are indoctrinated backing her up. So for any of us who were physically assaulted, we didn't defend ourselves.
Yep. Carly, it was fascinating to read about the legal journey you've been on too. You wrote a book about your experiences. Your former cult leader sued you for defamation, and the Supreme Court of Tasmania found in your favour on all the imputations or claims in the book, that you were bullied, that you were unlawfully battered by the cult leader and by others, that you were taken advantage of financially, and, you know, that the cult leader breached Australian industrial law. How did it feel to have gone through this huge legal case brought against you and win?
Yes. Well, it was amazing. I felt incredible once, you know, I was so nervous to look at the judgment. I couldn't even find the verdict for like, you know, 5 minutes because it was so long. And yes, it was an extremely long and arduous journey. I was lucky in a way because I had been sued already previously by this cult leader, including Fairfax and News Limited back from 2011 to 14 for newspaper articles that were in the Sunday Age and the Gold Coast Bulletin. So I'd actually managed and supported their lawyers in the whole court case for 3 years. The cult leader ended up suing on the first day of a 4-week trial. She settled and with judgment in our favour. So, basically I knew that I had to do this myself. Like, people said, why don't you try and get a pro bono lawyer, etc. But I knew the hours and time it took to prepare a case. And I knew from the last experience that I knew the story the best. I knew this cult leader's personality. I knew what we all went through. I had done a few subjects of law at university, so I obviously had my head around a bit, and I did a lot of extensive research. And yeah, I was extremely nervous about undertaking the trial and whether I would be good, but I can safely say that, I ended up, it just flew naturally, and I ended up cross-examining the cult leader for 17 days, which was amazing. And she didn't enjoy it.
I imagine not. No, that sounds like an intense experience for all involved. Carly, if I can get you to cast your mind back a little bit, how did you come to leave the cult in the end? Because as you've described, you know, they used very effective techniques to keep people under their thumb, to keep people uncritically involved and unable to leave. What changed for you?
Look, it's really hard to say why I left. There were a lot of factors. In the end, you know, we'd always been on a very strict vegan diet and not cooking for ourselves properly on a vegan diet. We did excessive exercise, excessive work. I was towards the end for at least 8 to 12 months, I was only allowed to sleep 2 hours a night by the cult leader, which I'd done previously. And, you know, so you're definitely in survival mode. You're not thinking critically whatsoever. And, you know, I'd been working at McDonald's as a side job to pay her money back again. And I was having fillet of fishes on the side, so possibly a bit of protein there. I was sneaking in a few more sleeps when I was working out on the property. So I'd work on her 100-acre property during the day and work in the office at night. And I was like her personal assistant, just doing whatever she needed me to do. But, you know, unfortunately, in the last sort of 10 days before I escaped with my three kids, she had physically battered me again twice within 3 days. And I just couldn't handle it. I had gone through sort of 13 and a half years of such, you know, just sort of physical and verbal abuse. And my self-esteem was sort of down in the dirt by that point. And I just think on a physical, emotional, mental and spiritual level, I'd given everything I could and my spirit was dashed, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. There is another element that is very important in my story and a lot of other cults, is that this cult leader basically put forward that she was a reincarnation of Jesus Christ, the Queen of Atlantis. She stated she was one of 12 on the Intergalactic Council of the Universe, etc. And a very large premise was that she told us that the world was going to end around 11-11-11 or 12-12-12.
Yeah, it changed, didn't it?
It did. And so I think that's a really important thing when you've got that sort of, it was a doomsday cult as such. So, you know, you've got in the back of the mind, you've done so much hard work, you know, you've been trying to evolve to be a better person for yourself, your children, your family, the planet. You know, we definitely thought we were going to be saving the planet, moving into the fourth dimension and the new world. So you kind of, as you're going along, you don't want to just give up because you think, well, I've already done so much work, you know. And also with the past life aspect, I would think, you know, I don't want to have to come back in another life and do all this again. But towards the end, just, you know, I started thinking, look, you know, I was working around the clock. I saw my three children for very little time during the day. I thought, look, I'd rather die in 2 years' time in Armageddon and spend the rest of the 2 years with my children. Do you know what I mean? Then go through this.
Totally. I totally do. Carly, it's I know, a difficult thing to revisit that time in your life. And I'm really grateful to you for talking to us a little bit about it today on Life Matters. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Hilary.
And Carly will talk also tonight on SBS TV on the Insight program called Cult Following. It's on at 8:30 tonight and then on SBS on demand, about some of the issues for families and around policing when it comes to cults as well. And we need to say too that the former cult leader has appealed parts of that defamation case finding in the Supreme Court of Tasmania, so that legal battle is not over.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.